A brief reading for Mr. Gooding. The book of Genesis, please, chapter 11. Reading verses 31 and 32. Genesis chapter 11, verses 31 and 32. Genesis 11, 31, and Terah took Abram his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife. And they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran and dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now chapter 12, please, verses 4 and 5. Genesis 12, 4 and 5. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came.
So God called, and Abram obeyed, and he went. He went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. Problem is, why did he turn aside to go into Haran and not continue on the journey that God intended him so to do? Last evening we looked at the influence of Terah and the influence of Lot. Terah, shall we say, a picture of a man of no revelation. Lot, the picture of a man of no conviction. Both in their way, delaying Abram in his onward march for God. They came instead into Haran, meaning parched and dry. I suppose I would be right in saying that every one of us here as the Lord's people have known what it is to come into Haran. Period in our lives that's parched and dry. It may be, like Abram in this chapter, the detachment to Terah held him back. It may be that, like Lot, his feeling of care for Lot held him back. But whatever it may be in your life or mine, there are often those things that come into our lives that have resulted in our lives of holding us back in our progress for God. We begin full of enthusiasm, we're going on for the Lord. We're conscious we've heard His voice. We're conscious we've obeyed His word. We begin to go on, and then something hinders us and holds us back. And instead of that enjoyment of the Lord that we've known so wonderfully when He first got converted, our lives become parched and dry and empty. There's no fruitfulness. There's no satisfaction. Instead of life being what we thought it would be when we followed Christ, it's the very opposite. Of course it is true that in the desert God will teach us what a God is thine. He brings us sometimes into the desert that we may realize it is a desert. There's nothing in this desert world to meet our needs and satisfy our souls. That's one way of looking at it. Another way of looking at it is that something comes into our lives and just hinders us and holds us back, and the joy goes out of Christianity. The realization of the presence of God becomes less and less, and our souls are dried up. We are parched and dry. And maybe there's a Terah in your life. There are tears in the life of many of God's people. Tears should have been left in Ur of the Chaldees. God never called him out. But he did come out most enthusiastically and became a leader in this exploit for God. Then I can hear him saying, Abram, do you think I'm gone far enough? Do you think we need to take this business too literally? After all, it's true the God of glory appeared to you. Now, I'm very proud of you to think that the God of glory should appear to my son, but we need to take it too literally. You just go too far. We've gone a little way on the road. We've gone in the right direction. Surely that it will please this God to reveal himself to you. Abram, don't you think you're going too far? Anybody ever said that to you? Young Christian, when you talked about being baptized, did somebody say to you, don't you think that's going too far? Taking it too literally, you know, it'll go for your brain and you'll become mental and going too far in obeying the Word of God. I tell you, you can never go too far in obeying the Word of God. Do you find religious folk who are quite enthused about the fact you've had some religious experience? They want to go on the media a little way, but they don't want to go too far. And so many religious folk in this world today in which we live, they don't want to go too far. They just want to be in the shallows. In fact, they don't want to be saved at all, but they like to patronize Christianity, shall we say. Not get born again. And if you're associated with religious folk that have no real conviction of sin and knowledge of salvation, you'll find that they have that effect of holding you back. You can't go on as you wanted to go on, because they don't want to take things too literally and go too far. And so he became in a place that was parched and dry. There's no sadder place for any Christian to be than to be in Haran. Because of some terror holding you back, or some carnal Christian like Lot holding you back. You can't go on for God as you want to go on. I tell you, brother and sister, shake the shackles off. Cut it clean. Allow nothing in your life to hold you back from going on with God and enjoying His presence. This place where there was parched and dry. Possibly we feel parched and dry spiritually. You read the scriptures and you don't enjoy it. You get down to pray and you feel you can't pray and pointless and it's empty and you're full of despair. Christian life can become like that if you get out of touch with God and you allow carnal Christians and professing Christians to hold you back on the road you want to tread. You'll agree with me that in such periods in your life, there's nothing produced for God. Life is empty. There's no spiritual growth. There's no production in Haran. Many Christians get there. If we'll be honest in the presence of God this evening, every one of us possibly, in our Christian lives, have been sometimes been at just that point, where the pull of Terah and Lot is such that we're being held back from going on with God. We need a deep exercise in our souls to say, what is it? Or who is it that's holding us back in this spiritual race, and like a weight, keeping us from running, keeping us from energetically going on with God. And so it's parched and dry. Your soul becomes like leather. No response to reading the Word of God, no response to God when He tries to speak to you. And you drop off going to the meetings because, well, there's no real food in it for you because your soul is parched and dry. Haran, I want to talk to you about this evening. It's not that spiritually, Haran tells me it's possible to have an experience of being parched and dry. No productivity for God. But yet, in that period in Abram's life, there was a lot of productivity. There was a lot being produced, but it wasn't for God. Is it not true that in some of our lives we may have spent days and weeks and months and years out of touch with God?
And in that period of time when our souls have been parched and dry and we haven't been going after the Lord,
yet in our lives we have produced all kinds of things. Some of us have produced days of prosperity because we weren't just as up and down as we ought to have been as Christians.
Some of us have had years of prosperity because we've compromised divine things. Things have been produced in our lives, haven't brought glory to God. Our souls are parched and dry, but we've been better off in ourselves. I think of young men who've got a wife in the Lord. I have one in mind at this particular moment. When he got a wife in the Lord, he fell in love with an unsaved girl. And he married her. For years he went on as a backslider, and then he got restored. She's there. Marriage is made to last, you know. Made to last until death do us part, we say in Britain. Made to last. This marriage made to last that he has had contracted, why, it remained there after he got restored. It's caused him many tears since he got restored. Now he's in assembly fellowship and his wife never comes. His children have grown up, they're not saved. And all the brokenheartedness of the dear man. He allowed a Haran experience in his life just to hold him back. And in that Haran experience in his life, he made a marriage to an unconverted person and the results followed on. These are the things you can do when you're living in Haran. You can produce things in your life that when you're restored, the results still remain. And they still hold you back. Still a tug of war between them and you going on with God. The substance, the expression, the substance they had gathered and the souls they had gotten in Haran. I wonder what substance they gathered in Haran.
Well, when I came out of Earl of Chaldees, I don't read about any men's servants and maid servants. I don't read about any cattle and flocks. As far as I know, they came out alone. But in that period when they were out of touch with God in Haran, and their souls were parched and dry, somehow or other, they'd added manservants. And they'd added men servants. And they've flocks, and they've herds, and they've substance that they have gotten in Haran. Maybe I'm talking to somebody, and you look back in your life, the years spent out of touch with God, you say, well, in that period I was very profitable. My business went well. It wasn't exactly honest, but it went well. And in all those years out of touch with God, oh, the things that can be gotten in Haran. But the things that are gotten in Haran are, yes, the herdman of Lot argued with the herdman of Abram. And the flocks of Lot that I don't suppose he got from Egypt, he wasn't in favor, as far as I know, with Pharaoh. The flocks of Lot must have been acquired in Haran. There was trouble between looking after the flocks of Lot and the flocks of Abraham. Things gotten in Haran. I tell you, my dear brother and sister, you get out of touch with God and you will enter into all kinds of contracts in the business world and in society in general, and you may be recovered, but you'll carry the result of it to the day you die. Results of things acquired when you're out of touch with God in Haran. But another says that. Another says the substance that they had acquired in Haran, but the souls they had gotten in Haran. You say, how many souls came out of Ur of the Chaldees? Well, there was Terah, there was Lot, there was Abram, and there was Sarai. But afterwards, there were the souls that they had gotten in Haran.
Well, Sarah hadn't had any children. Had she? She's still barren as you go chapter after chapter through the book of Genesis. So the multiplication was not there. You say, well, you could say that these men servants that Lot seems to have by, and Abram seemed to have by the next chapter, possibly they had children, souls gotten in Haran. And so these extra souls gotten in Haran that might be the children of the men servants and the maid servants, an increasing number, why, the more they were added to, the slower Abram would travel. And the more they were added to, the greater burden would become upon Abram's head of substance acquired in Haran. But I'm thinking more of, well, now, when Lot came out of Ur of the Chaldees, he wasn't married, was he? There's no suggestion that Lot came out with a partner at all. Abram came out with a wife that was his sister, and they left various members of the family in Ur of the Chaldees. No, Lot wasn't married then. But notice, you don't know many chapters in the book of Genesis, and Lot's got a wife. Where did he produce her? Was she one of the souls gotten in Haran? But Lot had spent his time when Abram was parched and dry and didn't want to leave the old man until God in his mercy took the old man away so that Abram could go on, and he buried Terah. What was Lot doing? Souls gotten in Haran. You know, there's only 25 years, isn't there, between the time when Abram came out of Haran to the time when Isaac is born. And before Isaac is born, well, it's very evident that Lot has a wife. It's very evident that Lot has four daughters. And those four daughters are old enough now to bear children. Only 25 years in between coming out of Haran and the birth of Isaac. So you've got to go back before those 25 years, haven't you? You've got to go back before those 25 years, and then you've got to find Lot finding a wife. And you've got to find Mrs. Lot bearing children, one after another, possibly four of them. Souls gotten in Haran. I think the situation would be largely the same as you have. Remember in the closing years of Gideon's life. He wasn't fighting battles for the Lord. And a multitude of children and a number of wives. All he seemed to do in those closing years of his life was indulge his flesh. Was it that Lot was spending his life indulging the flesh? In years when spiritually things were parched and dry, and there was plenty of opportunity for the indulgence of the flesh, plenty of opportunity of having a wife and bearing children. I repeat, by the time you get to chapter 19, two of the children are married. The other two of the children are old enough, as we see in that awful end of the chapter, to produce two children. The only thing I can account for is this, that they must have, first of all, found a wife in Haran. And then children were born in Haran, in order to fit into the biblical number of the years that you've got there before you. Notice the Spirit of God says, the souls that were gotten in Haran. You say there's nothing wrong with being married, no. Nothing wrong in having children, no. That's not what was wrong. When you look at those souls that were gotten in Haran, oh, you go over to the chapter for later on, and you see a pillar of salt outside Sodom. Then you go inside Sodom and you see two girls burnt to a cinder. And then you go outside Sodom and you see the last two girls
with their sordid, immoral behavior that resulted in two little boys that were there for the disgrace of their father and the disgrace of their mother for many years to come. They were the souls that were gotten in heaven. Searching, isn't it? That it appeared out of touch with God when our souls are dried, are bright and empty. We're parched. We're empty of spiritual growth and spiritual life altogether. We can produce in those periods in our lives subjects like Lot's wife that will break our hearts. Children like those two girls in Sodom whose husbands laughed when Lot warned them of coming judgment. Or two children, two girls, who said to themselves, here we are in a cave, and where shall we find a husband? And so they disgraced their father. Are they not the souls rotten in heaven? Close with this. What a warning to our own hearts. What a warning to our own souls, every one of us. For however long we have gone on with God, it is possible for something or someone to so draw us away from the person of Christ and the enjoyment of divine things that we become parched and dry. We become empty. Out of touch with the Lord, we do things, we are engaged in things, we are united to things that you get back to the Lord, and the result of those things you are. The results of our folly may be in those years of coldness of heart and backsliding. When we get restored, they live on. And after days they haunt us. After days they almost come back and they live on our doorsteps. And with broken hearts we look back to the period we have lived in heaven. Only Abram could have read the rest of the Old Testament, but of course he couldn't. He would have read the history of those two wee boys. They were his children, born sinners' daughters, these souls gotten in heaven. He would think of them as two of the most immoral nations in the Word of God. Two of the greatest enemies of Israel in the Word of God. And Isaiah, I think it's chapter 25, says that Moab shall be brought down into the vile water of the dungeon. Rotten in the way he was born by that behavior that came. Rotten throughout his history. Rotten in the end to come under the discipline of God in the day to come. The sadness for souls gotten in heaven. Close with it. Should be a warning to every one of our hearts, wouldn't it? To walk circumspectly. To walk carefully. We never do all to fall. Never do all to get out of touch with God. Never do all to grieve the Lord. For the long ever long we've been gone with the Lord. Just that brief period in heaven. We could do all sorts of things and practice all sorts of things and then get restored, but the results go on. There's many a broken heart in the world today. Broken heart because, viewing the results have gone on. From, if you like that term, the souls that were gotten in heaven will also die. True that. How about we bow in our presence? We thank you for the delightful ministry we listened to from our brother Jim. All of us had a better understanding of the prophecy of Habakkuk than we ever had before. We pray that God will give us exercise to read it through, apply what he has told us to it, and seek to understand it still better. We might understand thy way with us.
by way of the nations, by way of the deep, under the sanctuary. Help us to have that sanctuary experience, talking with thee, that thou mightest explain to us, make us understand what thou art doing. Then, Lord, we think of this practical truth from thy word. We all look back, Lord, to times of barrenness, times of emptiness, times when we grieved thee and wandered from the various causes that brought about this in our lives. We pray that we might learn the awful possibilities of the things that are gathered and the souls that are gotten when we are out of touch with the Lord. We might cleave to the Lord with purpose of heart and thus seek to please thee all the days of our lives. So, Father, now we pray with thy blessing. Draw us all closer to thee and speak to our souls and pray through thy works. We ask it with thy parting blessing now, in the name of the Lord Jesus.